Let's go to Matthew 18. Let me think, talk a minute before we do that. For most of you, there's still, for all of you, there's still a core part of your being that has never been touched by anyone, by anything, by any place. And that core, that central you, must be exposed to the light. God desires truth in the inward part and in the hidden part. He would make you to know wisdom. Now, most of us have been together for many years. We've been through some of the wildest things that are possible, and heartache and sorrow and joy and sadness and exposure. But there's still, and we know each other better than I know better than your families know you, know me. We know each other better than anything that I know. And in spite of it, we're still together. But there's still a core that is yet untouched. And so the process, really, of this high place activity, which some of you are, again, walking in fear over, is to finally get to that core, to expose the core to the light, so that there is never again possible within you, this term we've started to use, separation anxiety, where you will come to a position where you know with a certainty that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Not height, nor depth, nor famine, nor sword, nor death, nor life, nor demons, nor holy, so that you know with a certainty that is deeper than death, that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that we have ever done, or I have ever done, is to try to show you that. I've used every tool and manipulative instance possible to drive you into the point, going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, so that in truth, in the hidden part, he shall make you to know wisdom. Every aspect of your life is defined by a feeling of separation. There's no part of you that isn't. It's the tricks that you use to avoid being separate, the manipulative processes your mind goes through if it wants to punish you, to convince you you are separate. And so these are eternal verities that aren't negotiable. Now, each of you have a different psychological you-ness, a makeup that is like a patchwork on a quilt. It's like an Indian, the rugs that the Indians make, where there's these variegated colors are woven together, and we're being knit together so that there is no part of you that can ever again have a feeling of separateness. Now, nothing else that we have ever done in the world works. If it had, you would have been with that thing. You understand? Yeah. Marriage didn't work. Families didn't work. Careers didn't work. Nothing worked. Because the irony is the whole human race is being driven to expose that core. so that there is a certain knowledge in your being that nothing can touch. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we have an enemy. And the enemy has deceived this whole world, including you. There's a world of evil and demons that we don't know anything about in this country. The body of Christ is one, and it's a one that's defined by this nothing can separate. And a continuum. That's the kingdom of God. But there's the kingdom of this, of the God of this world. And his kingdom is also one. And it's like a spiritual patchwork that is a reality that is sublimated in everyone's mind. But it's only one being. Just as Christ is the head of the church, the evil one is the head of this thing, this Babylon, this whore. Just as separateness is the thing that has driven you to the body of Christ, the whore defines separateness as the goal. The idea that you can stand alone, be strong, be big, that you can stand on your own two feet, that God helps those that help themselves, that I can make it, is the one lie by which Satan has deceived the whole world. Now, each of you are partakers of that lie. Constantly. Things in the world constantly reinforce that lie. And everything that you can perceive with your senses pushes you away from the eternal verity that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because your senses are continually going to say, I'm separate. I'm separate. I'm separate. That's what this high place activity is about. It's to push and push and push until we can enter into that secret closet, where that closet that we saw so vividly in Barbara, every one of you has. Now, Barbara's happened to be, for her, it was comfortable in her closet until we started ripping off the sheets, well, every one of you have, and the closet is like, it's like, you gotta get into the secret room, the secret core of that closet. That's where the lie is residing. And therein, it must be exposed to the light without the possibility of a how-to. The reason that we're doing this is so that we can agree, so that we can confess with God. To confess, as I told you so often in the scriptures, maybe 1/10 or 1/100 of the time the word confess is used in the scriptures, it's homologio in the New Testament, meaning to say the same thing as God. But it's taken on in English, and in all other languages, by the way, the idea, instead of speaking the same thing as God, it means to say how bad you are. So that the language, as we saw in Bananas, all of your language that you've taken this and adopted it to, and the meanings of those words have only increased separation. So, okay, I screwed up, now I gotta go confess. Well, why not confess all the time? That's what God wants. It's like, praise God, I talked to this person today. Well, I want you to get in a point where it'll be the exception when you don't talk. Or praise God, I had this revelation. I don't care about that. I want you to, where revelation, where if you don't have a revelation, you feel angst. It's got to be reversed. So that, well, there you go. Now we can see Matthew 18. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that's powerful. That's the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth. You know, I get a kick out of these charismatic things. Like, there's a guy over in Fort Worth that has written a book, and he's named 2,000 demons. No, it's Doug Demon. And in India, you go to India, and there's in the Hindu machinations, there's over 2 million gods. Well, they're closer to the truth. But in fact, there's only one demon. I mean, we haven't. I've been studying, reading this thing, and it reminds me so much of high place stuff. It's frightening. But we don't have individual identity is the lie in the demon world and in this world. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Well, before you were something else. You weren't just isolated little human beings running around. You were of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you automatically will to do. There is no act of will that you can have. There's no desire that you can have that isn't of your belly and isn't of the evil one. And it's all one. And there's only one battle. So, here for us, whatsoever we bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall already have been loosed in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's why the only way you can enter into the closet and successfully clean or see the closet being cleansed is by the Lord's Prayer. Otherwise, it's the most momentous prayer in the history of the universe. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father, our one, not my Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Whatever I've bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I've loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the meaning. You can't walk into your closet without that. And you have to see that your incessant need and desire for things of the world is an enemy. It only causes the closet to be more hidden. Now, to get to this one point, the next verse. Again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That isn't some two or three jokers sitting out some religious church and using Jesus as a mantra. It's having the hidden part in your closet totally exposed to the light. Then you can be in his name. And if two or three, if we agree as touching, God shall move heaven and earth and will move mountains. That's why we're getting, that's what the high place activity is for, is to push you to the point where we can agree. There's no other agreement possible for us. That's why we go through, and every year at Yom Kippur, we would destroy every other agreement. We push and push and push deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into that secret core of your being and let the light shine. Then, if two of you then if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. We haven't even tasted fellowship yet. We've had smells of it. I don't care about all this stuff. I care about getting to the point where we have fellowship. And that requires this incessant pushing, 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 going deeper and deeper and deeper into the closet until you feel like your guts have been ripped out. Harry said today, he's talking about, he's afraid, he's really pissed off. He won't ever say it, but he's mad at me because I'm going to make him go in a hot seat again. He'll never say he's mad at God. He's not that dumb. And he's not dumb enough to say he's mad at me, so he's just sort of mad. Because he's afraid, his feeling is that he's going to go in there and go in a hot seat, and he's just going to get beat around and beat up, and he's just going to lose. And I said, you're right. You're going to lose. You're going to get your ass kicked. You're gonna rue the day you were born. He got in this terrible mood, and he tried to bring everybody else down with him, because Doug told him that I had said that Harry was going to rue the day he was born when he got on the hot seat. So ever since then, Harry's been running around in his closet murdering, oozying everybody. I mean, has anybody ever won in a hot seat? The definition of winning in a hot seat is that you would leave. Can you think of anything more stupid for any human being on the face of the earth to do than get in a hot seat?
That's right in there, along the way. In that.
I mean, it's pretty dumb. And then I got Tyra. She said she listened to Barbara's hot seat, and she thinks now I've got too much power, because no matter what I said, somebody would say amen to it.
Amen.
If any two of you agree as touching. Now, to touch. is the essence of life. If Eve, the essence of Eve's fall was she just got it wrong a little bit. God said of the tree of the fruit of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat. She said, thou shalt not touch it or eat it. So ever since then, you can't touch. If two of us can't touch anything, don't you see? And that was emphasized in the Tower of Babel. You can't touch. That's the meaning of the fall. You can't touch. The meaning of the destruction of the Tower of Babel is you can't ever communicate. You can't ever touch another person. In language, you can't ever really touch another person. The closest thing we have is the act of orgasm. God designed us to live in a state of ecstasy. But Eve fucked it up. She said, you can't touch it. And that created the beginnings of the closet. And slowly but surely, the Father's house, hallelujah, has many places of abiding. The kingdom, the God of this world, has an even more places of abiding. If any two of you agree as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Do you realize the power? Anything. But you have to touch and you have to agree. God, that's the fail-safe system. You can't agree unless you touch. So therefore, and you can't touch without having the light on in the closet. So this can never be misused. It's the elegant solution.
You can't ever agree until your closet is totally blown out that you can actually have contact there.
Amen.
Nobody's really...
None of you have ever touched another person. You've never agreed about anything. Neither has anybody on the face of the earth. This isn't some, we're not learning some mantra so that we can go get five and we can go the spiritual five and dime. We're learning that which is necessary to bring an end to time. If any two agree as touching, now. I don't know any other way to do this, folks. You think you don't like hot seats? I hate them. There's a part of me that dies in every hot seat. It's the most awesome thing. I don't know any other way to do it. Do you have another way? Exorcisms are easy compared to hot seats. Now, can it be settled once and for all time? Why the high place activity? Harry says this afternoon, I don't want to do this again. Why do I have to do this again? Pam said that the other day. I don't want to do this again. Well, then get it right. Or get it wrong. One of the two. You understand? We're about big stuff. We're not about fixing up an apartment for Patty and Powell. We're not about, you know, some problem with Tom's car. We're not even about the poor and meeting the needs. Those are incidental. That's bullshit stuff. That's just the stuff by which we're tested. Doug, I mean, if it wasn't for Doug, in fact, I almost canceled the whole damn thing today because Harry felt he was oppressed. He was getting too much on him. And all these things he has to do. Well, then let's cancel the bottle. Let's cancel that stuff. I mean, I don't have any other function in life than to cause any two or three of us to agree as touching. Hopefully, to cause all of us to agree as touching. Hopefully, to present every one of you perfect in Christ Jesus. You can't be presented perfect in Christ Jesus with the secret places.
That's part of the craziness that was going on with me, is I don't have anything on me. It's not I don't have too much on me. I don't have anything on me. It's just runaway bullshit.
Now, again, once the metaphor is a little mixed here because the closet is in the high place. So it's a little building in the high place that you got your closet.
Like a half moon on the moon?
No. What?
It's like a TARDIS.
Oh, Malthus.
Tartarus.
What? I was thinking about the TARDIS on Doctor Who. And it looks like fungus, but you walk inside and it's almost never ending. It's real big.
It's called hell.
Therefore, people who watch Doctor Who are worshipping hell.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that.
Oh, yeah. The worst ones are the ones who cause their children to watch them.
Cause their neighbors to think about
that. Cause their teacher, preacher, to even hear the word.
Yeah. God knows you that.
From the beginning of your life until now, if you, in one real sense, in one slice, it's been a battle of touching versus eating. God says, eat only his flesh. Touch, take a dominion over everything else. Now, little babies, they run around, they try to eat everything. They touch everything and they try to eat everything. Well, look around. You're still trying to eat the wrong stuff. God says, just touch it. Eat only my flesh. Gain sustenance only from me. Gain identity only from me. You're still stuffing everything else in your mouth, gaining identity and sustenance from everything else. And you're supposed to be the priests. That's pretty dumb. And you wonder why. Why are there the Kens of this world? Because they're the Dugs of this world. Why are there the Butches and Donnas of this world?
Because there are the Dugs
of this world. 1 Corinthians 10. You understand? What?
Pam just told me Dick said that we're going to be in hot seat tonight.
What is he now? It's
because he lives with you.
That's just what I'm surmised. First, we might have a big call.
Hey, Dick.
Yeah.
Hey, Dick.
Yeah. You never know. First Corinthians 10.
What's over you should buy on her?
Temptation. Tempt. Your mind says, as always, remember we studied this, it's one of the first things I taught you, that the English word for tempt, or test, or tempt, probably temptation, is the idea of the enticement to do something wrong. That's not the meaning in the scriptures. And the scriptural meaning of temptation means to put to the test for the purposes of approving. Not for the purposes of disapproving.
One is it saying the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation?
That's what we're about to talk about. So you've got to hear this idea of tempting or tempt or testing. Once the cross was manifested, temptation from that point forward had nothing to do with the external world. It had nothing to do with your sex drives, had nothing to do with your hormones, had nothing to do with your cigarettes, it had nothing to do with your drinking, it had nothing to do with smoking, it has nothing to do with anything that you can perceive with your senses. If it could, if it did, then testing would mean that Jesus Christ succeeded after the flesh and he didn't. Your flesh and all things about your flesh are never again to be tested. If they were, then the cross would not have been necessary. There's nothing about you that is to be tested by your senses, by anything that you can perceive with your senses. That's the biggest lesson you'll ever learn. It's the thing that'll set you apart from all other peoples, one of many. Because every other system of thought has as its basis that has testing in it at all, or tempting, has as its basis something to do with the improvement of the flesh, something to do with improvement of your condition. If that's what you want, you're in the wrong place. The spiritual meaning of testing, tempting, temptation is along a totally different line. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to all man, is what it says. All men. There is no temptation that has taken you but such that is common to all men. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you're a sex fiend. I don't care if... who cares? There is no temptation that has taken you that isn't common to all men. You got it? What the hell does that mean then? Well, let's see. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I'm not saying that God isn't going to engineer and work circumstances, but that's not the meaning of this verse. The meaning of this verse is that the testing is that you have gone into the closet at all, that you've gone into yourself at all. And the way of escape out of self is the Lord's Prayer. Any time you have you as the subject of your sentence, it's the indicator that you're eating from the wrong table. The way you get out of it is you pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us now tomorrow's bread. Forgive me for doing anything less. There is no temptation, there is no testing that you can endure that has anything to do with the external subject of it. It is all connected with this one issue, whether or not you're going to go into your closet and into the hidden part, or you're going to expose it. Do you understand how radical this is? It'll destroy this evil one. That's what the prayer is. Lead me not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver me from the evil one. There is, I don't care if it's your life, your kids, your husband, your wife. If you get out of the closet, then God, by his nature, must meet your need. He must give you to the desires of your heart, or the universe will explode. If he doesn't give you the desires of your heart, he is a liar. If you're in the closet musing over the things that you think, then you have a covering between you and the Father, and you're not seeking first the kingdom of heaven. If you're out of the closet, if the light is open, if the door is open into your closet, then God will move heaven and hell, and he will allow nothing to interfere with you, because his word forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. And his word says that if you seek him and his kingdom first, he will give you the desire of your heart. In the grand majesty of God, this is the essence, this is the bottom line. This is the... And don't be surprised in the air of your testing. Because you are being tested perfectly so that this beautiful weave where we are being knit together in love, the tapestry can be woven perfectly. There is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to all men. That's why I'm so brutal to you on the high places. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. All we have to do is loose that on earth. Look out, world. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. One of the main activities on the high place was the eating of the sacrificial food, the table. That's what sustained it. If you neglect it, it will die. Well, you want it to die. There are two natures within my breast. One is cursed, one is blessed. One I love, one I hate, and the one I feed will dominate. If you feed that nature that is sensual, i.e. by going into the closet, that's where the food is. If you feed the nature that is sensual, that's dependent on your senses, that's a function of how you feel, then you are feeding the beast. Do you understand this?
Yeah.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not... There is no temptation that has taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. Hallelujah. I know nothing of 17 years of this walk except that God is faithful. I certainly don't depend on you. Certainly don't depend on me. The one mistake that you so, you know, do you understand that if you are, no, this is primarily to the Rutledges, do you understand that if you are putting someone on the hot seat, it is worse than an exorcism of the worst demon you have ever heard of? And that you can be destroyed? The reason is that you will be tempted. That's another story. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, to bear it doesn't mean what you think it means. To bear it, what it says in the Greek is that you will be able to, meno, you will be able to endure. It's only they that endure to the end that shall be saved, that endure the testing, that don't walk. That's why it says, you know, they are sensual, they separate themselves. God isn't the God in heaven. The God is their appetites, and glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. We can have no part of that here. All right. Now, he's just gotten through talking about the first 10, 11, 12 verses of chapter 10 of, we're not going to go into them, but it's telling you that everything that happened in the Old Testament happened as an example to you.
That thing about separate themselves, that's like separate themselves from the test.
It's not just that, it's that you separate yourself by going physically into the closet. And you call it, well, that's just my nature. That's just the way I am. You know, I need to go home and think about it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you go home or not. You can be here and think about it. Just because he's not here, this is where, unless Buckner repents, Gary Buckner is going to explode. That's just my nature. That's just the way I am. Yeah, right. I'll tell you where you are. You have your father, the devil.
Yeah, to say that is to say that there's a temptation that's
not common.
That's different from somebody else. Yeah, sure. Everybody's just the same, which is to believe the lie that there's an individual sin.
So we've just seen that everything that happened in this Bible for thousands of years happened as an example for you to see. God wiped out nations. He wiped out infants. He killed innocent little sweet babies so that you could see. And then he said, there's no temptation that is overtaking you that isn't common to everybody. And then he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. Next verse. I got it right. What that means, don't you see, is that every instant of going into the closet is a reflection of the a priori idolatry. There's no way you would go into the closet without, unless your idol wasn't satisfied. So God comes along, he places his word test on you, said, oh shit, and he says, yay, because it's the test to see. Your idol doesn't mean anything if you're not worshiping it, it's just sort of hanging around, you'll never know about it. I mean, if you want easy preaching, go down to the First Baptist Church, where your righteousness is defined by how many converts you can make. I think I'll start that. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee all idolatry. Idolatry is intimately connected with this idea of the testing. Therefore, what that says is Satan is meant it for evil, God turns it to good. You know it's from Satan if it separates you and causes your eyes to look on yourself. That's his role.
To not do it at that point is to put your hand on the idol. I mean, it's an opportunity to destroy the idol, to make it of none effect.
You understand? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Well...
as though
I speak as though you were wise men. Judge what I say. What he's saying there, we miss it in English. What Paul is saying in Greek, come on, contend with me. Tell me something. Prove to me I'm not right. And if you're sitting there in your closet right now, you're not smart. Tell me, talk to me, contend with me. All right?
As you're talking, the picture I'm seeing is I've got this world I live in, it's like my room, and I get it organized and neat, and everything is the way it's supposed to be, and then something comes into that world, comes into that room, and messes it up, or causes some kind of problem, something that I perceive as scary or threatening or whatever. And rather than standing there and facing it openly, I run and hide in the closet of my room and slam the door and get in and pull something over my head and hide, rather than see that it's not from God, it is God, and face it.
Let me tell you, you're doing something far worse than that. You're going into a pagan shrine and committing adultery. You're going into the pagan shrine and fucking beasts and little boys and murdering those that you say you love. It's not a pretty sight. I mean, that's the reason that God made scary movies. And so that in a real sense, it's like you're if you want to get a picture of what you do, you're going into you're going into the closet and you're making love to Jason or Freddy. Well, then get out of the closet. For the guys that are concerned about their sexuality, you're going in there and making it with a fat little boy. It's idolatry. I mean, it's adultery. It's fornication. There's nothing. That's all that can be done in the closet. I mean, it's, I didn't go through all this before, but get ready. That's all you're doing. Not hiding. You're openly worshiping at the altar of Baal Peor. You're satisfying the God of this world. You're worshiping your father, the devil, in his many variegated forms. You understand? You understand? No, I said all that. That was all the easy stuff. Huh? Next time you visit your closet, visualize it. Don't turn your eyes from it. See it so you can escape. Oh, but it sounds so righteous to get in the closet. I get real religious in the closet. Yeah. Worshipping the whore of Babylon. Why are you looking at me? It's like you're looking at me very strangely tonight.
Well, it's because I'm hearing what you're saying and remembering all my hot seat.
Stuff you used to do. You're not doing it now.
Now. It's just like, ooh. You know, I don't want to do that.
We're moving out.
Before it was just with empty shells, and then you put all this stuff in it. What? Oh shit!
What else is in your closet?
Taking the veil off. All right. I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion, the kenosis, is what the word is, of the blood of Christ? Is it not the emptying? In other words, is it not the blood flowing? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, okay, Paul says, okay, I see, you can't see. There's still veils and little idols that are preventing you from seeing this. The meaning of the blood, and the meaning of the wine, the meaning of the bread, and the meaning of the body. One. You still can't see it. She says, well, I'll tell you what. Behold, look at Israel. Look at the sacrificial system of Israel after the flesh. That's the schematic drawing. To see what you're doing in the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, partaker means to be identified totally with. It's like the thing I told you before. But God doesn't want anybody that's involved with him or involved with the body. He wants people that are committed to the body. Now, the difference between involvement and commitment, some of you heard. If you have breakfast and you have ham and eggs, the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. There's no better example of this scripture. You understand? Up to this point, you've been involved with the communion. How do I know you've been involved? Because I have still been the subject of your sentences. Me, my, mine. So you've just been committed. You've been laying eggs. I mean, get involved. All you've done is just sort of been involved in the process. Now God says, it's time for commitment. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? That means identified with the altar. That means committed to the altar. That means they which eat of those sacrifices where death took place saw themselves as dead, as committed. You understand? Now, I made a mistake. The mistake I made was, we started out in the sacrificial study, the offerings, with the trespass offering, then the sin offering, and then we jumped to the burnt offering. And I got myself in a box. But I should have done, I started sin, or trespass, sin, meal, peace, and burnt. Burnt final. Because now the box I'm in is there's some mysteries that you won't even know what I'm talking about. Namely, this is one of them. The peace and the meal offering, where this idea, what the truly the sacrificial system, the altar and all of that was identified with, because those are the primary sacrifices that the priests ate of. That's where they got their sustenance. If you weren't a priest or a Levite, the sacrificial, that's why there can't be Christians and then disciples. The only ones that partook of the altar were the priests and the Levites. Anybody else was outside the camp. They didn't get sustenance from the system. They were part of a mixed multitude that sort of hung around. We got too many mixed multitude around us now. We're going to turn the heat up. We're going to fry the pig. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of, or identified, or committed to the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifices to idols is anything? Paul just destroyed the whole world with that statement. He destroyed every value system on the face of the earth with that statement. And you'll understand that after you understand the meal and the peace offering. Trust me on it now. Take my word for it. By that simple sentence, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols is anything, he has destroyed the whole world. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, give breath to, give importance to, that allows them, that defines their identity, that defines their peace, that defines their joy or their happiness. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice to are sacrificed to demons from the depths of hell. And not to God. Now you know, I guarantee you, the way you know whether it's something that is sacrificed by the Gentile or not is by a simple statement. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knows your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination, a desecration unto God. Therefore, if that which you are giving importance to is esteemed among men, you know you're sacrificing to a demon. You can't do that anymore after tonight. Am I communicating? And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils or demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. It doesn't mean you shouldn't. It means you can't. The fail-safe system is there. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? There is now where the short hairs are. There is not anything on the face of the earth that's troubling you except that where you think that you're stronger than the Lord. Got it? Can you taste the abandonment of eating only that which is the bread of life? Abandoning yourself in joy in the promise of the living Father is that He shall give you the desire of your heart. The abandoned joy of that moment, that eternal now moment that shall never leave you. No more closet bullshit. All you're going there is eating, screwing, bestiality. What you're really doing is necrophilia. All things are lawful. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful. But all things edify not. You understand that in the context of the idolatry? There's nothing on the face of the earth that has any right, wrong, moral, immoral tone to it any longer that went at the cross. Now the test is singular. The temptation is singular. Do you go into the closet or not? The moment you're tempted to go in and think about self, our Father, our, identifies, our Father. It's bigger than that because it's Abba, which means they call him, it's Daddy. It's the intimacy of Daddy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the name, the ineffable name. Thy kingdom come. Now, the word come there is parousia, which means present, be manifested. It doesn't mean, it's not a time-dependent thing. It's, thy kingdom be revealed in me now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel as it is in heaven. As it is in this overriding reality. Destroy this evil one here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day tomorrow's bread. Let that sustain me instead of this idolatry that I'm worshiping in the closet. Instead of the things that I've been eating that the Gentiles eat. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation to commit apostasy. That's all that's left. But to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, not mine. The power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, that's kind of important, don't you think? You know why? Let me tell you something really bad. You know what? You know why we attack the high places? So you'll never again have to say the Lord's Prayer. So you live the Lord's Prayer. You are the Lord's Prayer.
You live. You're the answer to the Lord's Prayer. It's happened.
Well, there's a lot of things that have been permissible for you in the past that are no longer permissible, as of this night. You can't eat at the table of demons any longer. That's what the high places are about.
The test of if you're sacrificing the demons is if it's highly esteemed among men. And we started this evening by talking about being strong and I can make it. And all of those things are the most highly esteemed.
That has nothing to do with what I was going to talk about.
You really had a wonderful sermon
plan. I had a wonderful sermon plan.
I was thinking about the way the scriptures in Isaiah about all the beautiful diamonds and everything that are on the outside of the earth, you know, were some interpretations that is it's, you know, the earth was, when it was redone, everything kind of went inside or something. I was thinking about all that kind of stuff. It becomes diamonds and jewels by openness.
Right,
it
becomes the crown. The things that, it's the living stones.
And even in the flesh, we think of, these rocks that were originally,
compressed and heat. It's
supposed to be diamonds.
The thalaspis, they are hidden away. They only became valuable because they went through great testing.
Just somehow made it to the surface.
Well, that's what mining. All it preaching is mining. and ask him what's already there. It's to reveal that which is already there. That's all preaching is.
Thing about them, how this is like, you know, the first part of the Ten Commandments where he says, I'm the Lord your God, and you have no other gods before me. I mean, every time you think you're stronger than God, and every time you go into the closet, you know, you just put another God before.
You violated the first four of the Ten Commandments. You cannot go into the closet without violating the first four of the Ten Commandments. And once you go into the closet, you can't stay in there more than 1 second without violating the rest, the little second set.
That's the activity in it.
The activity, the first four cause you to go in the closet, the second six are the activities of the closet. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
But it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty black and white, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, the takeaway is the reason that several of these Bible studies are fucked up is the
I think you're going to have a remedial lesson, Larry. That's the only takeaway.
Remember, on the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th, we are going to the ranch.
For a little get-together.
We'll get together at the ranch.
Aren't some of us smug about the weekend? I'll just be going along as an observer, right there.
No.
There's
you. You can't be an observer.
Say a big guy.